Welcome to Feasting on Design. I'm your host, Jason Frostholm. Today, I'm talking with James Rose, co-founder of Content Snare, a software platform that streamlines the process of gathering content from clients. We chat about how he went from running a web design agency to building a tool to help other agencies gather content from their clients, developing ways to handle effectively communicating with clients, learning how to sell a product and services, how to use automation and outsourcing to free up time to focus on the things you're good at, plus a whole lot more. James, thanks for joining me tonight, or this morning for you, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for having me. But yeah, you said you're off to get a beer before we start the podcast. I was like, I'll go get a coffee, given it's Monday morning.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess in theory, since, you know, you work for yourself, you could get a beer.
But yeah.
Maybe not the most professional thing to do.
Sure, I'd probably judge myself if I was drinking before 10 a.m. on a Monday.
Yeah, unless you're on holiday, or out fishing or something.
Right.
Yeah, drinking at 10 a.m. on a Monday is generally a sign you have a problem.
Yep. Hey, the last couple of weeks of my life is a sign I have a problem anyway. So it's been crazy, weddings and events. But yeah, and again, thanks for having me. Hey, it's really cool to be here.
Yeah. Well, so let's kind of dive right in and talk about how you got started in your business and what you do as your business. We'll start that off. What's Content Snare? How about that?
Oh man. Yeah, that's probably the easiest question. Where, like, how I got to where I am is the story you don't want to hear. It's just way too long and full of weird stuff.
Oh, we'll get to that. Oh. We'll get the condensed version of it. let's give the backstory and explain who you are and what you do.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So right now, Content Snare is our, like, primary business, right? It's a tool for, well, really, it's for anyone to collect information from anyone else. That's like a broad term, but mostly it's used by creatives, digital agencies, to collect content from clients. So that was just because we were a web design agency and we knew this was a massive issue for agencies. And so we built this tool and we've kind of wound the agency down since then. But yeah, that's what Content Snare is.
Gotcha. So when you were building it up, because in the little questionnaire I sent you before, you talked about how you switched from an agency model to a product service model.
Mm.
Tell me a little bit about the agency, how that was running, and then what made you switch.
Okay, so it looks like I'm going to tell you that life story after all, but no, seriously, we started in software like a long time ago, probably like 2010, I want to say. We built a software product because this is back in the Google AdSense website days. I don't know if you were...
Sure.
Yeah, AdSense Gold Rush, and you're building all these rubbish websites to get them ranked on Google. It's funny, like, I look back on that now being like, what is wrong with us? But at the time, it was like, that's what you did.
Hey, you know, if it pays the bills.
Right? And we were using this software for some SEO stuff, and we didn't like it. So we were like, we can build our own. And that was basically the start of our business. And that's when we learned we can't do any marketing because we're engineers, and engineers can't sell things. So,
well, there's a lot of designers that can't sell things either. So.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a hard skill to learn when you're used to being, like, I guess, technical or creative or whatever, and selling things isn't, like, part of what you do. But yeah, it took many years to learn how to sell things, and at some point we decided, hey, we're going to, like, do some local networking, because until this point it was all online. And then everyone just asked us to build them websites. That's literally how we got into it. We're like, oh, we build software. And they're like, oh, cool. Can you make me a website? Everyone knows this story, right? Every creative.
Yeah, typical story.
Can
yeah.
you replace the hard drive on my Mac? And they're like, all right. yeah, so that's how we got into it. Because we'd been building sites for years anyway, as for our own stuff. And yeah, so then we built the agency and eventually got into custom software development. We found, like, that's where what we love that sort of stuff more. Bigger jobs, more complex. Yeah, and we'd work with designers to build custom web applications, basically. But yeah, and in the process of all of this, Content Snare was kind of being conceived, working with other agencies. And like that's actually how we got the idea, is just speaking to other agencies about what their biggest problems were, because we wanted to get back into the software game. Because that was kind of where our, I don't know, what do you call it? That's what we love. It's our passion.
Sure. So the idea came from working with other agencies and working with your own clients, and you're trying to get information from them, and you're trying to get the stuff that you need to build a site.
Yeah.
You know, not just the technical stuff, but all those support images and the copy and all that stuff. And how did you formulate what would be the best results for you guys?
Oh man, a lot of trial and error and wasting money on development, and yeah, but like I was saying, we interviewed a lot of designers. So I had this idea. It wasn't even Content Snare, it was for something else. It was like a website briefing tool. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go and talk to some agencies and see what their biggest problems are, and see how we can help them. And I interviewed maybe 15 to 20 people, and I think all of them, like to some extent, varying levels of anger, talked about content as their biggest issues.
Sure.
You know,
I work in house as my day job, and me getting content is still my biggest issue. So I definitely understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, one guy was even like, it made me want to leave the industry. Like, wait, like just how much content is holding up all our projects and whatever. It made him want to leave. And a lot more colorful language came out of those interviews. I was actually digging through them like yesterday to write some more copy, because that was the best thing about those interviews. They basically wrote our copy for us. the things people would say. But then for the idea, it was pretty logical, I think, because we had the exact issue, and I was kind of like, well, what are the bits that suck? It's following up with clients all the time. It's getting these emails, like disjointed emails with little bits of copy in all the different in different emails. Sometimes they're like highlighting weird things in like red and being like, can you link this to the about page? Or like putting these instructions inside the copy, whether that's in an email or in a Google document, and everything just got messy. There'd be these massive attachments or too small things, like they send you a logo that's like 15 pixels high and just stuff like this. So I was like, well, if we can just put it all in one place, do the follow-ups automatically, and then have like a kind of mini approval system, that should work. And that was basically our first idea. That was how we started.
Gotcha. When you were still running the agency, what was your process for getting that content at that point? Because there's a lot of communication that goes into getting that sort of thing. What I'm asking is, what was your communication process to gather all that information and content?
So it was pretty well Google Docs, which covered most of the content. But like our biggest issue with that was what I was just saying, how that it's too freeform. Where they can just type whatever they want in, and it gets all over the place. So I started using tables within Google Documents, but it was still a bit messy. But that was all we had, right? So it's just what I stuck with because I didn't really have an alternative. and for the communication, I still rave about this tool. It's called Follow Up Then. And it's very simple. It's like Boomerang, any of those, like Boomerang for Gmail, any of those tools that kind of bounce emails back to you to remind you to follow up with someone. So that's pretty much all I was doing. I'd just say, hey, look, we need your content. Remember, this is where you should send it. Here's the link. And then I would put in the trigger to bounce that email back to me in 3 days or a week or whatever it was. And then I'd just have to stay on top of them like that. And even though I had a VA, it was pretty much just me doing it. I don't know why. I probably should have outsourced that. But yeah, that was it. That was it.
Okay. When you're actually talking to the clients, you know, walk me through that process, that conversation that you have when you were actually talking to your clients.
Specific to getting content from them?
Yeah. So, you know, what you need. You know, and how to best facilitate that?
Yeah, so, I mean, this evolved over time a lot, and it's actually become a lot of what I sort of teach in video series and webinars and stuff like this now, because we're picking up more things even now from people that are getting content effectively and people that aren't. You know, we talk to a lot of designers, so starting to gather a bit of information there. But I think one of the most important things is setting expectations. And to some people, that's like putting item number 74 in your terms and conditions, like you are responsible for content. Which obviously doesn't work, because clients probably don't even read them all, or there's so much stuff in there that they're just going to get diluted anyway. But we made sure that was really clear. Like in the website briefing form, we'd even ask, where is the content coming from? Like, is it on your current site? Is a little radio select or whatever? Is it on my current site? And it's on my current site, but we need to modify it. I'm going to be writing it, or I need some help to write it. Those kind of things.
Sure.
And that was kind of cool, because it was a potential upsell opportunity as well. So you can go, okay, you don't have content. You know, here's a copywriter, or we work with a copywriter, blah, blah, blah. So you can sell them on that if they need help. But that was the first thing. So it's like the first touch point, pretty much. They know that they need to be doing content. So that's like the part one of setting expectations. But then, you know, when it came to the initial meeting, we'd make sure it was brought up there. Literally just say, hey, like, our packages don't include content, but if we can help you with that, if you need some help, we work with some local copywriters, whatever. And then again, in the proposal, so we had like a cover page not a cover page, it was the next one after that. So it was basically in summary kind of page.
And sure, kind of like an abstract.
Yeah, and it's like the important stuff that if they're only going to read one thing, that's like the important stuff. So that might have like, this is the payment schedule, this is the timelines, this is when we need content. It doesn't include SEO. That was like a big one, because, you know, everyone's had that email. Sure. Like, I'm not ranking first page on Google 5 days after you launch their site. So, well,
first off, no one is in that time.
Correct. Yeah, but you know, that's just another expectation setting thing, where we talk about potential future of their website as well. You know, like if you want to talk about marketing, you know, we start injecting it there. And then of course it's in the terms and conditions. A thing that I love to say was, basically this is for design feedback and content. You have X amount of days to get it to us. And if you don't, your project will go back into the design queue. So it's not like we're like archiving your project or something. It's just like, it goes back into the queue. And when we get content, like that's when we'll, when we get the content, that's when it goes back into the queue. So at that point, there could be five websites ahead of you. We need to do that to keep our prices where they are, blah, blah, blah. And it's just how we remain in business, by doing this kind of stuff.
Sure. It's. I mean, I think a lot of designers are familiar with that. It's the, you know, we can't hold a spot out for a client just hoping that they're going to give us what we need. Because then we're having to turn down other work.
Yeah.
We're having to put other projects on hold, and our other clients are suffering because you don't have your shit together.
Yeah. But clients might not necessarily realize that or expect that. Like, even if they're not, it's not like they're being unreasonable. It's just like they probably don't realize that that's how you have to operate. So like, that's why I was kind of saying, like, explain it to them and be like, this is why we do this. I mean, you don't have to, but I liked to. And then after that, it was in the, we'd send them the content request when the time came.
Gotcha. I've always found that the clients who work on a similar projects type schedule, where it's like, you know, when we have the information from you, when we have these milestones from you, is when we can begin work on these, are the worst about understanding that other people work this way.
Yeah. And I mean, and
it's ironic.
Yeah. But and then like, I've seen like funny examples of that kind of thing being reflected on the client, like using them as the actual example of why you can't do something some way, and helping them to understand, you know?
Yeah. So as you're going through and you're kind of streamlining your processes and figuring things out, at what point do you does this kind of, you know, germ of an idea for what you do now infect your brain?
Oh, man. Jeez. I actually can't remember the very beginning. But like I said, we always had a passion for software. There's one thing I didn't mention in my life story is that we actually had another software product that we built. We had an issue with a specific accounting process. It was totally random, but I was trying to help my client achieve something and it was completely impossible. So we built a software product. It was called Silver Siphon. And we built that in 2014, sold it in 2017. So that's kind of... And the reason I say that is because it's like we've always had our ear to the ground for software ideas and because it's where we want it to be. We love creating stuff like that and like talking to clients and improving it and building features and doing all that kind of stuff. We always wanted to build something, and it was just basically through the agency I noticed some, I guess, issues or bottlenecks in our processes. And the briefing one was one for us. I know that one, and the content was one. So that was kind of, you know, at first it was actually other people that made me really think, like some stuff people said made me go, yeah, that's a big problem for us too. I'm going to try and fix that. So it would have been in 2016, maybe June, July. That's about when it all started.
Okay. As you know, to kind of work into what you're doing now and touching on all of those different things, walk me through kind of some of the best practices of ways to collect content from your clients and from vendors and all of the people that you have to interact with.
Yeah. We've definitely found out a lot of stuff in this space too, like through, again, talking to agencies. No matter what system you use, there are a few things that you can do to make it easier. And I mean, that is the key right there, is making it easy for clients. Sure. That's what I've always said, is like, if you don't make it easy or like simple for clients, then it's not going to get done, because difficult things get like put to the back of the pile, bottom of the pile. Sorry. Yeah. So that's always the biggest thing. And no matter what you're doing, that's what you've got to sort of keep in your mind, whether that's Google Docs. You know, you're not sending them a blank Google Doc, you're sending them some guidance, right? So the main things that I talk about are structure. So, and by that, I mean, not saying I need the content for your homepage. It's I need, first we need to talk about the hero header, or just the header area, right? And for that, we're going to need a headline, and we're going to need maybe a subheadline. We're going to need a background image. So actually breaking it down into the individual bits that they need. So that's kind of the first important thing. I mean, that's why we built Content Snare the way we did, because it's essentially a way to structure out sections. So you'd literally say header and then put in a headline. But the next level under that is instructions for each of those things, because your clients don't know how to write a headline, for example. Sure. So you can't just say, give me a headline, because they might write, well, like 50 words or something. You're like, come on, man, I can't use 50 words. But yeah. But they didn't know that. So that's where, in like the form or whatever you're doing to collect content, you can even do this in a Google Doc, right? You could have a little box where they type in some text for their headline. And then just above it, some instructions that say, like, your headline should be 5 to 10 words. It should focus on, I don't know, like benefits, whatever. We actually sometimes link our clients to another full guide on how to write headlines and subheadlines. That's like something we include with Content Snare, is like a brandable guide that they can send on how to write headlines. And then, I mean, you can do varying levels of that for everything. You can say, here's how to write an about page. You know, you have a guide on how to write an about page, and again, breaking their about page down into sections. And so I'm probably just waffling here, but the two things there are structure, so breaking it down into small pieces, and those instructions and guidance on how to actually write those small pieces. And a side benefit of that is that small things are easier to do. So then they can like come in and fill out maybe five things when they've got 20 minutes and then come back at it later. They're not just trying to write like a whole page.
Mm-hmm. As you're going and gathering more and more information, what's the best way to do that? What's the best way to dive deeper, grab things that are more focused, and help the client understand how to steer that?
I got to be honest, I'm not totally following the question.
So I mean, you can give instructions on, you know, hey, we need this. This is, you know, like a headline should be 5 to 10 yeah. words. And, you know, it needs to relate back to what you're talking about in the main body, but needs mm-hmm. to be eye catching and mm-hmm. things like that. But when it gets to kind of the meat of the content of helping the client understand how they should write and how they should make sense of things.
Yeah, and that's a huge topic, right? That's like teaching your clients copyright, which sometimes you kind of have to do, and that's why.
Sure.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, real in an ideal world, we'd have a copywriter to just write everything for our clients, but you know, budgets and whatever sometimes don't permit that. So in that case, it's kind of what I was talking about there with guides. You know, that's what we tried to do. Actually, sending them educational information about how to write. You know, for example, headlines could be one, but then like if you're breaking down a homepage, like maybe you've got you might follow the, what is it, like ADA or whatever, the attention, interest, desire, or like just there's all these different copywriting formulas, right? So whatever it happens to be, you know, I think the Content Snare website might just sort of do the classic, like agitate the problem, provide the solution, whatever. So you can have information about how to focus on the problem, what kind of things to write, and then the same for the solution and whatever. So it's going to be different for each client. So that's kind of, there's no one size fits all, right? It's teaching right. them how to copyright.
As you know, as you're building out the project and, you know, doing this, because obviously there's a breaking point here where you're still having to do agency work to pay the bills while you're building the product out. Where does that tipping point happen where you're not having to do nearly as much client work and you're able to focus on building the product?
Oh man. Yeah. That's, full honesty, we still have some agency work going on. It's, have one client left and they're just really, really, really big client that keeps giving us work. So I don't know if we're so much an agency as an outsourced development team for a large organization. But yeah, take what we can get. But it's
exactly.
Yeah. So it would really depend on how much development time you're putting into it. So we could have stopped the agency stuff earlier if we weren't putting so much money into developing the feature set, right? Or and like if we were building the code, like I've got a business partner who's now like the lead tech guy and he does a lot of the development, but you know, it could have just been him developing it and me doing the sort of support and marketing, and it would have been pretty quick, right? Like it's just a matter of splitting your days. So and this is like an awesome productivity technique that I learned from Mike Vardy, kind of daily theming. So that's essentially like blocking out. Well, for me, I do half days, right? So, like my mornings are usually like, I don't know, for now, like Monday's content day, Tuesday is a content promotion day, Wednesday's like relationships, whatever. But, this is awesome when you're splitting between a couple of businesses as well. So you could have like Monday is, like Content Snare marketing day or something. And then, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays are working for clients, you know, for doing the agency stuff. And that's pretty much how we did it at first. Like we just did, like I'd split my days half and half, you know, content okay. snare and agency work until I could sort of phase out of that.
Gotcha. As you're doing those splitting days and, you know, there's days when you've got to double up on things and there's times where things overlap. Mm. How are you making the process easier for you? What tools are you using to take things off your shoulders, essentially?
Yeah, and it's funny you mention that, because I was just thinking, like, something I didn't say was there was a tipping point where I was just so freaking busy that I was like, I will pay for anything that saves me like an hour at this point. So, yeah. And I had that mindset where I didn't want to sort of pay for more stuff. You know, it's like, oh, another subscription. But at some point I went, nah, I need my time. It's more important than like $20, $30 a month. So I started just getting the best in class tools for everything and taking the time to set them up. And that was a huge mindset shift for me that I think sort of carried through now. Cause I just spent I've spent a lot of time away this year. It's April. And I think I've spent like 2 weeks straight at home so far. everything else has been away, but so much stuff is still getting done through, like the team and process I've put in place and automations and tools and whatever. So, I mean, the biggest one by far is team, right? Like I had a project manager that we hired from the Philippines, who was amazing at like handling client requests and doing quality controls. So after the developers do their work, then she would run the tests and do, you know, make sure it looks good, whatever, make sure things work, make sure contact forms work. So that took a huge load off my shoulders, you know, so most of the problems that were fixed before I had to check them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really just a case over a couple of years, I would say, of identifying the things I didn't like doing or the things that were taking me too long and finding out how to not do those anymore, right?
Sure.
So yeah, so some of it that was tools. So you asked about tools. We implemented Teamwork Desk, which is and Teamwork Projects. Those work together as a really awesome combination. That so basically, when a client makes emails in something like, so we would have two. One was like our ongoing maintenance email. And one was for website builds, right? So that email like websites@acturatech.com, that would bounce into Teamwork Desk. And from there, the project manager can simply go, okay, we need to create a task, and literally creates it from that ticket. It comes up in a ticket, it creates new ticket, whatever, assigns it to a developer. When that gets done, the ticket bounces back into Desk. So then they can just go, okay, that's done. So that process saved us so much mucking around, like losing emails or like trying to dig around in email trails to be like, oh, okay, this is that email. We need to reply to that and say it's done. You know, now it was all just in one spot and it was built into the project management system. So that, you know, that's a perfect example of something that saved us a ton of time.
Gotcha. What were some other tools? Because I know you're a big fan of, and I never know what the proper way to pronounce it is, Zapier. That's how I say it. Yeah, I don't know if that's Zapier. The right way to say it.
I spoke to someone the other day that was like Zapier, and I was like, wait, what? Is it French now?
Like Bezier, like the curve tool in Illustrator?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but no, it's Zapier, I think, is like the CEO. That's what he says is the right way to say it. So, because they're zaps. You create a zap, so it's a Zapier.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, I use Zapier a lot. I think I average about 10,000 tasks automated per month. Most of that's with Content Snare, if I'm being honest, like not so much the agency.
Sure.
But we did a few things going on there, like automatically asking for feedback. Actually, no, let's rewind a bit. So I had ActiveCampaign as like our main CRM and automation tool. And actually had a deal flow set up within there that might be like, this person has contacted us. It's just email. And then it's initial phone call. And then it's maybe initial meeting. And then we've website brief phase. So it's all just like the stages of the project, right? Mm-hmm. But also kind of sales as well. So and in various stages, it would trigger off email sequences or just emails or tasks for us. It might trigger tasks for us to do certain things. So an example of this is like at the end of a project, we might drag it into website complete and it would send off an email to talk about website maintenance or marketing and like potential upsells and things like this. And then a week later, it would ask how things are going and if they like to fill out a feedback form. Mm-hmm. So then they come in and they write some things, you know, and give us this rating out of 10 or whatever it was. And based on that result, then automatically ask them to review on Google or something like this. Like, this is all stuff you can do manually. But at the time, like I was saying, I just needed time back. So I was automating as much as I could.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's something that's important because there's a lot of us that are, you know, designers or developers or just basically anybody who works for themselves. And, you know, if you're a team of one or maybe, you know, just the handful of people, there's only so many places you can be and so many things you can do in a day. So finding those things that can alleviate and take off, like you said, the things that you don't either like to do, you don't want to do, or you don't have time to do, you know, is really helpful. Give me some other examples of how you've used that to automate your day.
Specifically active campaign or other stuff?
Whichever.
Because I was going to say, I got loads of tools. But one I already mentioned is follow-up then. I still use that all the time, even though we're not doing much agency work anymore. I use it for everything. Like being good at following up, like a lot of people think they're not good at following up, but it's usually just because they don't have a system in place for it, right? So follow up then, a boomerang, I mean, any mix match, no, I can't remember now, but there's a whole bunch of tools that are made for just like email productivity, and that's a perfect one. I love it because I use, like, so some of the things I use it for, partnerships. So like if I was reaching out to someone to potentially run a joint venture or something with Content Snare, I might send them an email, and I know people aren't very good at responding all the time or things get lost. So I'll just go 1 week at followupthen.com and it'll bounce that email back to me in a week and I follow up again and they're like, oh yeah, crap, I forgot about that. So that's been great. That saves me a lot of time trying to remember where like each email trail is up to. Another awesome one is Text Expander.
I've heard of this one. I have a friend who's told me about it.
Yeah. But
for the people who don't know.
Oh my Lord. It saves me so much time. And mucking around. Like, so it's basically, it's very, very simple. It's like snippets of text that you can call on whenever you like. So for example, you might have you could do a whole email, right? So I'll start simple. Like, I'm sick of typing out, say, a URL to a blog post that people ask about all the time. I've got a blog post about how to get web design clients. And a lot of people ask about that in my Facebook group. And then I could sit there and go like contentsnare.com/get-web. You know, I've typed that so many times that now it's in Text Expander. And literally all I do is, so you have a prefix and then a simple text. So in my case, I press full stop or period and go GWDC, forget web design clients, and hit spacebar, and boom, that whole URL goes into wherever my cursor is at that time. So that's just one example. But you can use this for like every one of my websites is in there. So every time I'm typing a website address or an email, for example, it's all just in there. Like .e is my email address. .w is like the website. .c is my email sign off. It goes, cheers, James, at the end of the email. You can have entire emails in there, like with placeholders as well. So like if I've got an email that I have to write occasionally, I can go like, you know, dot whatever space, and it will bring up a box on my screen and ask me to fill out a few placeholders. And then just put that email into Gmail where I happen to be typing at the time. Man, I use it for so much stuff. Booking links, like Calendly links, because I don't want to, like, especially if it's to a specific event that I, you know, it's a long URL to type and I don't want to type that.
So many things. So since you brought up booking links, so, I mean, when I do stuff for the podcast, you know, I sent you one. It's a copy and paste thing that I've got a Word doc. And I just copy and paste and then send on. But what you're saying is with Text Expander, I can, you know, basically type, you know, booking or dot book.
Dot podcast.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be dot. That's just what I use. You can use whatever prefix you like. I don't think that's even default. That's just, I came from another tool that had that as the default, and that's just what I use now. So, yeah, like it can be absolutely anything. You can, so you can even like tab, you can inject like tab keystrokes and stuff. So,
really?
Like, for example, in Gmail, I'll highlight the subject, do my short code, and it will write the subject tab to the body and copy it into the body as well. As an example, you can put in dates, relative dates. It's awesome. Like this sounds like I work for them or something at this point, but
I mean, I think it's helpful because it's, again, it's like we were talking about, it's all those tools that help you take stuff off your plate.
Yeah. Just a little bit at a time.
Free up time. Now that you've started, you know, and you've built yourself a process where you're using automation tools and you're using these things, you know, have you noticed a significant amount of time that it's freed up?
Yeah, it's what's the opposite of death by a thousand cuts? Like a positive version of that. yeah,
not
I got I got nothing, but it's been gradual for sure. It's really hit me hard lately though how much time I am saving, because I've been going to several conferences and things lately, especially with like the digital nomad community, or the, I think that's like a negative term now. Location independent entrepreneurs, whatever you want to call it.
Remote workers, whatever.
I knew
what you meant.
Remote workers. That's probably a less douchey term. I'll go with that. But yeah, like hanging out at conferences and things with business owners that are working remotely, and just seeing how tied some people are to their computer. Like they can't get away from it. You know, we might go on a couple of day holiday or something over the weekend, and they still have to bring their laptops and do the work and do all the stuff. And I was sort of thinking like, oh, there's like so much going on without me right now, that's when it really hit me. You know, like it's been a long process to get there, because it might take an hour of work to do something that saves 5 or 10 minutes a week, right? But in that takes a month to two, you know, to pay back. Sometimes more. I might do enough work that it doesn't pay back for 6 months. But after that, I never have to do it again.
Okay.
You know, and these things just add up. It could be 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. And yeah, but that's when I really noticed it, is just sort of seeing like, and almost like having that sense of calm that I don't need to constantly do stuff because something is happening without me.
Did you get to a point where when it kind of first dawned on you that you were having all this free time, where you kind of just instinctively went into this panic mode of, I'm not doing enough. There's something else I got to be doing. What am I missing? What am I forgetting?
Oh man. Yes. Yes. I had a day like that. Do we speak about this? I feel like we might have. I had a day when I went to my friend's house. So I was just chilling at home, supposed to be doing some work, because obviously I work at home. And I got a call from my friend, and he was like, oh, I'm picking up our other friend from the airport. He's here today. And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, do you want to come around and like drink and play board games? And I was like, huh. It was like a Monday again, so the guilt now. And then I found out another friend was going too, and I was like these guys just took a day off work on leave, and I was like, oh my God, like this is why I got into this, right? Like, so I can do things like this spontaneously. So I went around, and it was just an awful day, because the whole time I was like, this had this weird like anxiety in the back of my mind that, I wasn't doing enough work. I wasn't doing, like, I had stuff that I needed to do, emails to answer, whatever it was. And I was just sitting there like all day pulling out my phone. If it had been 5 minutes, I'll pull out my phone. It's like, oh, like in case something really important and critical happened in that last 5 minutes since the last time I picked up my phone. Like somebody
might have texted me, or it must have vibrated.
Yeah, right.
One of those.
Oh my God. And it was awful. And I just did it all day, and it completely ruined my day. And that was a really big turning point for me, because I sort of, at the end of it, I was like, that is so stupid. Like, the whole reason I got into this was to be able to enjoy things like this and not worry. And here I was just, like, in this ball of anxiety all day. Mm. So, yeah, I actually, since then, I actually think back to that day whenever something happens where if I get a call on, like, a Thursday afternoon and be like, come on, let's go do this thing, I sort of think about it and be like, okay, like how bad that day was for me is it makes sure it's never bad for me again, because I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm like putting the phone somewhere else, putting it on silent, just chilling. I can handle it tomorrow. It'll be fine.
So what did you do to kind of work yourself out of that mindset?
Honestly, that's as simple as it was. Like once I saw how bad it was. Yeah. And I was like, and it was also the whole, I guess, discrepancy between this is that's the entire reason I started doing, a lot of us start working for ourselves, right? It's for freedom.
Sure.
And then when you actually do something that you want to do, like as a result of that freedom, and it sucks you back into that void, that like, that's all it took for me. Cause it was such an intense feeling where I was just like, I have to just deal with this and go and enjoy my day. I don't know. Like it sounds weird, but it is just a matter. Yeah. Like it's a mental game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's tough. I think we work ourselves into this stress from trying to run our own thing and do our own thing that we feel like we are constantly having to tend to it. Mm. And I think that's, it's not even, I think that I know that's not a good thing. Like you've got to be able to make time for yourself, make time to go spend time with friends or family and do things. Otherwise you're either going to burn out, you're going to have a nervous breakdown. You're going to start drinking at 9:30 in the morning on a Monday. You know, one of those things is going to happen. So you've got to find a way to deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we all know people that have been burned out. I mean, some of us might have as well. And it seems to be like I haven't happened. I've been burned out, but not to the extent that I've had some friends burn out where it's just like they can't do anything for like weeks.
Sure.
And that is just awful. I mean, seeing that kind of stuff, it's funny because, you know, I know that I see this stuff in other people and it didn't really, nothing changed in my mind. But that one day where I was just like super anxious or whatever all day, that was enough to change it for me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we like, it's maybe that's the advice. Go out and get anxious. No. but like, it's hard. Like if you don't actually have it happen to you, it's kind of hard to appreciate or understand.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to switch gears, and this is somewhat related because it's, you know, now that you have free time or more free time, I don't want to say free time, because that's all relative.
Yeah.
But you're able to enjoy yourself. Do you find yourself still trying to fill your time with other things?
Yes. And like, I mean, I'm still spending a lot of time on the business, right? Like I'm not, it's not like I'm just, it's just lately it's because I've had a lot of conferences on, and stuff on that took me away from the business. It wasn't like, you know, oh, I'm just going to sit around now. It was like, no, I don't have enough, as much time to work on stuff. So I'm going to have to be more efficient. Yeah, it's been a whole lot of different things lately, but, oh my God, I forgot the question. What were we talking about?
But now that you've kind of found ways to free up time.
Yeah.
You know, have you filled it with other things?
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny, like as I guess most of us that run businesses, you try to find other business ideas.
Yeah.
So that's been a big thing for me lately, is trying to do automation training, I guess, is, I don't know what I'm calling it yet. I just decided that I love automation so much, I'm going to show other people how to do it. Because I spoke to a lot of people at conferences and whatever, and I even spoke about automation at a couple of them. And the feedback's been unreal. Like, people really want to get into it and want to, like, learn more about how to automate, but no one knows where to start. Like, that's been the biggest response I've gotten by far. Like, did a survey where I got a couple hundred responses, and 80% of them said, to some extent, like, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to automate, blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of what I've been filling my time with, doing some YouTube videos and trying to just help people out. Like, I don't even have anything to sell yet. I'm just doing it for fun right now.
Sure. Well, believe me, when we get done, I'm going to be asking you for all the tips and tricks on that. But, you know, you've also been, like you said, you haven't been in country or in town much. You've been doing a lot of speaking. So talk to me about, like, aside from just automation, what are you going around and talking to people about?
I mean, like at conferences or?
Yes. Yeah. No, no, not, yeah. Not just randomly on the street, like at conferences. Yes.
Well, honestly, it's not much different. Randomly on the street at conferences, I still talk a lot of crap. It's almost like, that's almost what like conversation and meeting people is to me, is just like a way to get away from the normal stuff. You know, sometimes I don't even like, I almost hate talking business sometimes, even at business sure. things. Like I just like,
oh, yeah, I'm the same way.
I just love meeting other entrepreneurs and business owners, because it's weird. It's like a mindset thing. Everyone's dealing with the same stuff. Like, it's very easy to make friends at those kind of things, I find. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's similar kind of humans, I guess. But, mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, it is mostly automation. Other than Content Snare, a lot of people ask me about software, like how to create a software product or market validation, you know, because we did some pre-selling for Content Snare. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's right now it's mostly automation, because I talk about it a lot, and yeah, there's not really much more than that.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your podcast too.
Is that what you were trying to lead me to there?
That's where I was trying to go. I couldn't figure a good follow-up question on there.
That's
so
funny.
I'm diving right into it.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. That's yeah. I see what was going on there now. Yeah, I guess it's funny because I was thinking in real life, right? It's funny because yeah. I don't really talk about much of this. That Agency Highway is my podcast. It's for digital agencies. I mean, I want to say, like, the tagline is "Who want to grow and do less work" or something like that. Who want to sure. make more money, do less work. Classic, right? because like I do all of that online, right? Like, it's in our Facebook group, mm-hmm. which is Grow Your Web Design Business. And through the podcast, that's all online. And here I was thinking about conferences, and I'm not talking about agency stuff at conferences. It's just like my online alter ego. But yes, yeah, I love that. Podcast is such a cool platform, as you know. But just being able to get awesome guests on and get them to spew advice for agencies and freelancers, it's been a lot of fun. Make a lot of good connections doing it as well. It's yeah, love it.
Yeah. When you have the opportunity, are those worlds ever overlapping where you're, you know, talking about the agency side of things and how to kind of grow that and talking about the automation side of things? Are you able to interweave those at all?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, like, so there was this thing I was talking about before with the way we automated our flow with ActiveCampaign using, mm-hmm. you know, like firing off feedback emails and stuff like that. That's, you know, I can talk about that quite a bit, and I have. yeah, and so, like, there are plenty of automation things that I learned when we had an agency that I've just applied to other like other businesses or in my talk. Like, I've kind of only really got one talk because I've only done it twice, but three times.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know, and
I know the feeling. I've only got one too.
Yeah, right. It's classic. But yeah, like, there's been a lot of stuff that applies to both. And a lot of the stuff that I do in Content Snare and Agency Highway can apply to other businesses too, and other agencies. So I can definitely talk about that. Like, some agencies have podcasts, and I would say my podcast mm-hmm. process is pretty streamlined, so I can help them with that. And I've just put my podcast process on my website because, again, I got nothing to sell yet.
Sure.
So there are definitely like bits and pieces that work on both. And right now I promote pretty much all the videos I do to my web design agency audience, because hopefully there's something in there that they can learn.
Well, sure. Well, I mean, you've also built a product that is, you know, almost tailor-made for that sort of thing. So it makes sense to kind of, you know, use it to promote, you know, pimp yourself out, essentially.
And look, I think agencies are some of the most overworked people I've ever met, like agency owners and freelancers. So I like to think that by automating some stuff, like maybe I can help these, like these guys that have helped me in so many ways, to get some of their life back. I guess that's the goal, you know, because it actually makes me sad when I see that the story before, when I've been at conferences and seen people just like glued to their computers or whatever, and not being able to take them to like rip themselves away just for a little bit because they're like in quotes so busy. That actually makes me really sad. And I was like, especially when I see my friends getting into that. So that's kind of where I want to go with this. Hopefully get a few people to get some of their lives back.
I've noticed that. I'm going to a conference next week, and this will be the, I think, sixth year I've been to it. And every year there's a handful of people that I always see like in the hotel lobby that they're still attached to their computer so much that they're not able to really enjoy the conference experience and, you know, participate in it the way that they should be.
Yeah. And then the best part of conferences is meeting people and like creating connections and like building that network. And, you know, I've been at a conference and someone's like, you know, we're going out for a couple of beers or something, and they're like, oh, sorry, I got to go back to the room and do some work. And you don't see them until the next day. And it's like, you just missed out on, like, I just made like 8 new friends.
Yeah. I always hate it when I do go out for beers and then I still miss stuff.
Oh, FOMO is real.
I don't mean in the blacking out sort of way. I just mean like the next day you see, oh man, you should have gone with us afterwards. And it's like, you know, well, it was 2 in the morning. I couldn't go any further.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but we went into karaoke and.
Absolutely. Some of the best connections are made at the bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better ones at karaoke.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, as we're kind of wrapping things up and getting close to the end, you know, what are some of your, I don't know, tips and tricks that have worked for you to get out of your own way and allow yourself to grow the business and still be productive?
I think I'm still in my own way.
Okay.
Oh man, that's a hard question. I mean, the biggest thing that's given me time back is the team, for sure. And sure, creating processes for the team. Like for example, a podcast, my podcast episodes now, there's not a lot I have to do for them because, like I do the recording, I just chop the front and end off, and then, cause it takes me like 2 seconds, and then the VA, Bernie, my project manager / VA, does everything. So, you know, and that's, it just saves me so much time. Right. And having these like things in place that like processes in place that someone can follow. But on that note, like there's in the online business world or in the business world, there's a lot of people that talk about, like creating processes for everything so that like a monkey can do it. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of dangerous too. Like that's not necessarily all positive.
Oh, sure.
Because yeah, like, I mean, the people that work for you aren't monkeys. So
brains. You want them to be able to have thought and be able to do what they're good at.
Yeah.
The processes should just be kind of a guideline to help them stay on task, essentially.
Yeah. So I like to really just tell them, like, if there's something that you think should be changed or, you know, like you've got ideas for improving this process, like tell me, don't just blindly follow it every time. And sometimes, like recently I asked them to build a new site. I'd never done this before, right? Where I just showed them a couple of sites that I like, because normally that was my role in the agency, right? I'd sort of come up with some concepts and talk to the client, whatever. And this time I was just like, because I still have a couple of people from the agency because they help us out with our internal sites and that now. Sure. But I was like, just here's some sites I like. Go and see what you can come up with. And they came up with a site that was just exactly what I wanted. And I was like, holy hell, like I didn't need to like put dot points in and say, this is step one, this is step two. And it's like, why don't I do this more, right? Like, I think, yeah, it's like, so process and just trusting your team to get stuff done.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, as we're wrapping up, so with the feasting on design portion of the podcast, I'm going to ask you a few questions about food. I know we haven't really been talking about it, but I always like to wrap up this way. Sure. What's kind of your earliest food memory? What's like, it's either like the first thing you remember, like if it was, it's generally what first thing that comes to mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got that already. I was like, what am I going to think about for first food memory? I think I've had too many beers and my long-term memory shot, but do you have like Maggi as the brand, the like 2-minute noodles?
Yeah, like the ramen stuff?
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's like the chicken flavored or beef flavored.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're like just 2-minute noodles and drowning them in ketchup, tomato sauce, like as a kid. Oh, I know, wow. Right? I know, right? You just like dry reached.
that's like the I'm so broken college I can't afford to go buy the can of spaghetti sauce.
Oh man, this was mixed up. This is pre-college. This is like way pre-college, and I just for some reason loved it. Like it's just like 2-minute noodles with like this isn't like in the rum in the broth still. They're all drained out. But
yeah,
then
yeah.
Putting sauce on them and like yeah, man, I used to eat that all the time.
have you tried it recently?
No, I have not.
Try it. Let me know if you still like it.
Oh no, I don't want to ruin that childhood memory. It's like
no, I would. Yeah, I don't actually recommend it. Yeah.
No, like I went and watched Little Rascals the other day, a movie that I loved when I was a kid, and I was like, I should not have done that because it sucked this time.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's tons of those that they don't hold up.
Yeah.
So what's kind of your comfort food? Like, you know, you've had a shitty day. You just want to relax. You need to fill your belly with something.
There's a shop down the road from us called the Euros shop. And it's basically like, I don't know what you guys call it. Like, cause we say kebabs. Maybe do you guys say shawarma? Is that a thing?
I mean, we have both.
Okay.
Kebabs cool. And shawarma. Yeah.
Yeah. So like a wrap kind of thing with meat.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
It,
like a euro.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And sometimes I put chips in them as well, like fries,
oh, really?
Fat fries. Yeah, it's like, that's it. And that's because you said comfort, like I don't want to, I've had a shitty day. It's got to be like, someone else is making my food. I'm not making it.
right. Yeah. No, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And this cannot be the same answer as the other ones, but what is your death row meal? The last meal that you can ever have?
Buffalo chicken wings. Easy.
Oh, wow. That was quick.
Yeah. Oh, it's easily my favorite foods.
Gotcha. Actually, I'm going to throw one more question then just because we've talked about beer and made jokes about beer. Ooh. What is your favorite type of beer?
Oh, milk stout. That's easy. Yeah.
Man after my own heart.
Aha. Yes.
I love a good milk stout.
Absolutely.
That and a toasted porter.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not bad. I like porters are a bit harder for me to enjoy, less of them. But no, let's not do this because I'll talk all day about beer.
we'll do another podcast where we just talk about beer. James, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me tonight, or again this morning for you.
Yes.
Where can people find you online?
Well, thanks for having me, Jason, first up. But yeah, so, I mean, contentsnare.com is where you're going to find Content Snare, funnily enough. but the rest of it's pretty much at jimmyrose.me. I know, you know, my name's James, but that's Jimmy. I can't really decide on my own name sometimes. So that's where that is, jimmyrose.me. And there'll be links to my YouTube channel for automation. There's blog posts there about automation. So yeah, just connect with me wherever you like. All the links are there.
Awesome. And we'll put all that in the show notes as well.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Jason.
All right. James, thanks a lot.
You can find out more about James on Twitter at @_JimmyRose. And be sure to check out the links in the show notes for more ways to keep up with him. I hope you liked this episode of Feasting on Design. Let me know what you think by leaving a review over on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Visit feastingondesign.com to catch up on the archives of the Creative South podcast. Get some cool swag like t-shirts and stickers that are on sale right now for 50% off with free shipping on orders over $25 when you use the code FREESHIPPING, all one word. Plus, you can keep up with the podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Feast on Design, and I'm at Jay Frostholm on Dribbble, Twitter, and Instagram.